All right, Thursday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me say to everybody in the chat tonight, as many as I can get to anyway, Scooter Magruder is on, Greg Nine Mon is on, Spaz 64 is on, Michelle Tile is on, Greg Nine Mon is on, Gloyd Shaw is on, JD Joy 25 is on, Mike Griffith is on, Supergirl 21, already in the rant is on. Thank you so much. Free Lumby is on. 23 Justin Blake is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Scooter Magruder is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. JGCK is on. Mr. Cool Dude is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Will Gilbert is on. Let me see here. Prayer Works 2 is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Sexy Pony is on. Hefner's on. Scrolling down. Granite 2468 is on. Chemical Toilet is on. Let me grab another couple here. Veronica 18201 is on. If I didn't say it already, Mike Griffith is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Jim Brody's on. Scrolling down. Robin Aroni is on. Richard Perry is on. D9597 is on. K4 VMS is on. N Johns 127 is on. Ever Eden is on. Keeper 1376 is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Let me see who else we got here. Scrolling down. Ooh, Patriot of the North is on. Let me grab a couple more. Luann 5 is on. Uncle Wally is on. Scrolling down. Let me grab some new names here. Some of you guys are on here like 47 times. Let me see. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Milwaukee James is on. Hugo Stiglitz is on. Let me grab a couple more here. Biggie 926 is on. Danow 59 is on. Hefner is on. Let me grab one more here. Let me see. Somebody I haven't seen yet. If I can find anybody I haven't seen yet. Oh, there we go. Charlie 340 is on. Appreciate you guys. Love each and every one of you. Thanks for being on tonight. Let me get, before we get to the, basically what, you know, the title of the show is, this is a spiritual war that we are in. Before I get to the Islamic part, let me cover some other stories with Trump. Well, first of all, he's in the SCOTUS battle right now for his tariffs, whether or not he has the right to issue tariffs or not. Imagine this even being a Supreme Court issue of whether the executive branch can issue tariffs or not. And I listened to John Roberts speaking to Trump's attorney today. First of all, imagine the wasted resources of a country, $38 trillion in debt, where you're now having to have the executive branch argue, spending millions and millions and millions of dollars arguing for their right to issue tariffs on foreign countries. And here's the asinine part of it all. The absolute asinine part of it all is that the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, let alone also listen to Ketanji Brown Jackson, who can't identify what a woman or a man is, remember that. Remember, in her confirmation hearing, she was unable to answer the question of whether or not, of what is a female, which is an adult human, what is a woman, which is an adult human female. She couldn't answer that question. She, remember, she said, she's not a doctor. How in the world would you ever then rule on anything having to do with a woman if you, in fact, cannot identify a woman? Think about that. But anyway, so these are the galactic geniuses that rule over us on high at the Supreme Court. This should never even have been taken up as a case at the Supreme Court. They turn down every monumental case, every case that actually means something. They turn all of those down, but yet go ahead and make sure that they have time to hear whether or not, as the Democrats sue Donald Trump about whether or not he can issue tariffs. They make sure that they can hear that one. And by the way, so far, Howard Lutnick says that Trump's going to win, but he's really the only one that's saying that right now. His Commerce Secretary, I think it's his Commerce or Treasury Secretary, can't remember which.
Commerce.
Yeah, I get him mixed up. But anyway,
yeah,
so
Commerce.
Is it Commerce? Yep. Commerce Secretary Howard Ludwig, which makes sense because it would be over tariffs, is the only one really predicting victory right now, which, by the way, I hope he's right. I hope he does win victory. But if you listen to the opinions of the Supreme Court, to the attitudes of the Supreme Court, we're basically already five have been very argumentative with Trump's attorneys. And once again, it's just astounding that Donald Trump even has to have attorneys there to argue for the right to issue tariffs from the Oval Office. And this is what John Roberts said. Remember, this is supposed to be the pinnacle. The absolute pinnacle of the legal minds in America is the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, which, by the way, he's just an absolute glistening buffoon. That's who this guy is. Just a butt-kissing, spineless little buffoon of a human being who wants to make sure that he is invited to all the D.C. cocktail parties and everything else, who has very, very strange connections with his best buddy, Norm Eisen. And they actually spent some time together in a mansion, actually, my bad, a castle.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what country it was, overseas. But anyway, together, that's kind of weird, where you have the number one opponent of the Trump administration, best buddies with the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. But anyway, Roberts comes out and keeps talking to Trump's attorney and saying the president doesn't have the right to levy taxes without congressional approval. What is he talking about? Because and first of all, tariffs are not a tax. I'm going to do a little poll here, an informal poll inside of the TLP podcast room, because there's three of us in here, got Will, got Aaron, and myself. Have any of you ever felt like you had the right to opt out of taxes?
No.
Okay. Me neither. Okay. So I certainly have never fought that fight. I know there's many people out there, you know, sovereign people or whatever. They believe they don't have to pay taxes, whatever. And there's a very, very valid argument about the illegality of federal income tax, but I don't have time to get into that right now. But bottom line is, if you don't pay your income tax, you're going to prison. If you evade or avoid or fraudulently avoid your income taxes, you're going to prison. We all know that, unless you're a Democrat. Like Al Sharpton, who owes millions, tens of millions of dollars, but it doesn't matter. He's a Democrat, so he's exempt. But anyway, you and I will go to prison for that. Now, how does Roberts' argument make any sense whatsoever? How does it make sense in any way, shape, or form that Trump is issuing taxes, levying taxes on Americans? Because what Robert said was, who's going to pay for the increase in prices because of the tariffs? Well, first of all, that's up to the consumer. So that's not a tax. If you don't want to pay for the say, because mainly the only thing that prices are going substantively up on are bourgeois goods like BMWs and yachts. That's really the only place where they're substantively going up. Anybody notice that? If you notice that they're not going up for anything, for you, gas is at record lows right now and everything else. But anyway, I digress. But anyway, and some of the countries that are involved in these tariffs are people that we import fuel from. But anyway, so how in the world does Roberts come up with an argument that Trump is levying taxes on American citizens by levying tariffs on foreign governments? This is the Chief Justice. This is the pinnacle of legal mindedness. How in the world does he make that argument? Because he says that the expense of the tariffs will be passed on to the consumer. So what? So what? That is not a tax. And it is absolutely constitutionally sound. It's already, and by the way, this has already been decided five times. Why are we back? Why are we back? Because Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, John Roberts, sometimes some of the other ones, and of course the three left-hard morons, Elena Kagan, Ketanji Brown Jackson, Sonia Sotomayor, brain dead people who decide life and death decisions. Life and death verdicts are put in their hands, and they are stupid human beings, including most of the conservatives on the court. So how do you actually consider that to be a tax? Because here's the thing, like I said earlier, Will's never felt like he didn't have to pay his tax. Aaron said he never felt like he didn't have to pay his tax. You've never felt like you didn't have to pay your tax. I've watched for 25 years and day, as well as now, watching FICA being taken out of my paycheck every freaking paycheck I've ever seen. So I don't have the right to not pay that. So how in John Roberts' mind is that a tax? Because the tariff isn't a tax, because you can simply choose not to buy the good. Aaron, can you help me?
No.
Can somebody explain this to me? How this works? It makes absolutely no sense that the Chief Justice, one thing, but the chief legal mind in America thinks tariffs are taxes? Again, did we even have an income tax until 1913? As well as, remember now, Aaron, you fill me in where I miss them. Okay, we had no CIA until 1930. Okay, until 1913, we had no CIA, no FBI, no income tax, and no Federal Reserve. Did I miss one? Okay, yeah, there you go. So we had none of those things. So when was the Constitution written? John Roberts, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, chief legal mind in America. 1776, for all intents and purposes, correct? I mean, it came to fruition, I believe it was 1789. But where all of our constitutional rights came into fruition. But let's just make it easy, 1776. So what made us the most prosperous nation in the world at that time when we had no income tax? And as soon as we levied income tax and created the Federal Reserve, we launched into the $38 trillion worth of debt that we're in right now. So why were we the most prosperous country in the world prior to that when our sole income was, as a country, tariff income? But now it's considered to be a tax levied by the president? How does that make sense to anybody? I mean, imagine being John Roberts. You're a Republican. You sleep like a baby at night. And you're so stupid, you don't even understand that concept. Or you're, which one are you? Because it's A or B and there is no C. You're either A, stupid, or B, a leftist coward. Which one are you? In order for you to make that argument that the president of the United States doesn't have the right to levy taxes on levy tariffs on a foreign government because it will cause prices to rise in America, and now you're ostensibly calling that a tax on American citizens. He doesn't have the right to do it because some way, in some sort of a benign connection, some sort of just tacit collateral connection that prices may go up, but all of us could simply turn down buying that good and then buy the American good instead. Doesn't that make sense to everybody? So that this, all of this is going on right now. So hopefully Trump wins, because if not, we have to return trillions of dollars. It's not billions, certainly not millions. We have to return trillions of dollars. Let me go to Aaron. Keep that for me. I need that in just a minute, but when I get to it, you'll know when I do. So keep it for me somehow. All right, let's go to this next one. Rapid Response 47 video. Gas buddy, when you look at gas prices, how's Trump doing? Play for me.
Insane, but the good news is, Stuart, that when you look at what Americans are making, what they're taking home, gas prices taking just 1.5% of their take-home income, and that's at multi-decade lows. So even though gas prices are still above that $3 a gallon mark and just barely, we're seeing less of a pinch on Americans' wallets as they hit the road for things like Thanksgiving and into the holidays.
At the moment, you're right, the average for regular gas nationwide, the average is $3.08 at this point. But if you were to take out some of these West Coast states, especially California, take them out of the average, then the national average for regular would actually drop way down below $3 a gallon, I think. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely, Stuart. All you'd have to do is take out California. That represents about 10 or 15 cents a gallon, especially as California's state average has been going up. Some refinery issues there. $4.69 a gallon for the statewide average there. You're still going to find areas of California where some stations are $5 or $6 a gallon. Meanwhile, on the other side, the Gulf states, Mississippi, Texas, Oklahoma, home to some of the cheapest prices, Stuart, and hopefully you're sitting down. You're going to want to get a gas tanker. But yesterday, reports of a wholesale club in Austin, Texas, that is still selling gasoline at $1.98 a gallon.
Wow, a one handle on the gas price.
If you remove California and New York out of the equation, the average gas price is hovering around, I don't know, $1.98 to $2.50 a gallon. That's how good Trump is doing. And all of these Democratic Party pundits are going on these talking head shows and claiming that prices are going through the roof. They're doing the exact same thing they did with Biden, just in the opposite way. With Biden, they said it was a great economy and everyone's paying $4 a gallon. And now they're saying it's a wretched economy and Will paid $2.73 today. And I've seen it as low as $2.98. And if not, it may have been, that was actually a couple months ago. All right, Aaron, go to that slide for me so I can read that. Put it side by side when you can so I can read it. Now here we have right here. We're just going to let it run. So here you have, this is Gordon Finley collapses in the White House today. Now, what was going on here? What was going on? Well, here's bad Trump. Now, we just had Rapid Response 47. That guy that was actually doing that is actually called Gas Buddy, giving the report on CNBC about how great the gas prices are. You can just bring it back to me. just wanted to make sure everybody knew the context that I was talking about. So anyway, so there's good Trump. Now, and again, everybody understands something. I'm not saying this to be sycophantical. I'm saying it because this is how I feel. I believe that Trump most of the time does well. 90% of the time does great. But his 10% is stinky to the nth degree. I'm talking about rotten sulfur egg, stinking bad. Bad, okay? And this is one of those occasions. He's at the White House, and what is he talking about? Cutting, basically forcing pharmaceutical companies to cut their prices. Do I give two craps about the pharmaceutical companies? Absolutely not. They're liars, and they're felonious criminal liars. They've been caught numerous times rigging their trial data, fraudulently influencing doctors, fraudulently influencing their studies, lying about their trials and their studies, and have had to pay billions of dollars in criminal penalties. That's already true. And then, of course, everybody on the right, with the exception of people like us, every church, everybody buys into whatever Big Pharma tells them to in 2020. The preachers from the pulpit, we're just praying for a vaccine right now, praying for it. From the abortionist, felonious, perjurious liars from Big Pharma, you're going to, as a Christian, you're going to pray in the devil? Amazing to me. Truly amazing to me. My people are absolutely destroyed for lack of knowledge. Where there is no revelation, people just cast off restraint. Proverbs 29:18, Hosea 4:6, write those verses down. So you have this, and so Trump's in the White House today. Now, what's he doing? One thing that he's doing is good. So again, with Trump, most of what he does is good. Half of what he did, even in this meeting, was good. Is that it's really sad, but we consume a lot of the pharmaceuticals in the world. Not as much as you might think. We consume about 5% of them. But what's our population? We should not be consuming 5% of all pharmaceuticals around the globe, okay? Because we are a population of probably, they say 330 million. I believe we're 370 to 400 million people. But regardless, we the world's population, remember now, world's population is 8 billion. China alone is 1.4 billion. India is over a billion people, just so you know. And we lose track of what numbers mean. I do too. What is a billion? It's 1,000 millions. That's how small we are. I mean, think about it. China's 1.4 billion. They're a billion people more than us. Yeah. Everybody realize that? And India is about 800 million people bigger than us. Just think of that So us consuming 5% of all pharma is ridiculous. But here's the fun part. Will's going to love it. Aaron's going to love it. You're going to love it. We pay 75% of the pharma bill, though. 75% of their profits come from the country that consumes only 5% of their product. Woo! Because everybody else gets most favored nation status, and we don't. Just like how we get royally screwed, and then Trump has to go to the Supreme Court and argue for his right to issue tariffs on the people who get the most favored trading status from these big pharma companies. And I hate pharma, and I hate everything they put out. I'm just telling you, I don't believe in taking nothing. Believe me, no vaccines, nothing. But anyway. God is better. So, and I'll prove that with the story we're on right now. So that's what Trump did that was good. Now, what he's doing there, though, is we all know Trump pimped vaccines. He's pimped the, he went and made sure that he had a public announcement. Right after the CEO of Pfizer, Albert Bourla, comes into the White House, Trump ends up putting out an ad or a post saying he just got his most recent and up-to-date flu and COVID combination vaccine. Or maybe you got two. I don't know. But anyway, because there are the combos out there. I'm sure those are glorious combos, which absolutely make no sense because you're dealing with a replicating virus. So there's no way to ever vaccinate against a replicating virus. You're talking about a virus that constantly changes, mutates, changes its form. So as soon as you create a solution to it, it's over. By the time you get to that solution, you're five mutations behind. That's why all the studies, please pull them up. Every single study has shown that people who take the flu vaccine are more apt by 10, 20, 30, 40% more likely to get the flu, the very disease they're being vaccinated against because they're actually being injected with it. And with the COVID vaccinations, which are mRNA, and some of the new flu vaccines are also mRNA. They're not putting a dead virus in you for your body to create immunity against, which I'm totally against. Anyway, God knows what he's doing. Leave God alone. God gave you the best immune system. Let it be. and the mRNA vaccinations actually alter your genes so that your genes produce the main body of COVID, which is the X spike protein, so that your body will then fight against the X spike, X spike protein. But the problem is it destroys the rest of your immune system because your body is now creating the very thing that it's now fighting. That never happened before. Your body usually doesn't create the thing it's fighting. And it spreads throughout your body. So you end up with hyperinflammation in the heart muscle, in the lining around the heart, myo and pericarditis. And I could deep dive into vaccines and then the show's over. So anyway, so Trump was in there pimping for Ozempic. Ozempic already has a multi-billion dollar, the company that puts out Ozempic, Novo Nordisk, they put out, they're already in the midst of a multi-billion dollar lawsuit. Why? Well, it's kind of minor problems. People have woken up blind forever. People's digestive system is paralyzed.
That's not good.
It paralyzes your digestive system, which, by the way, digestive systems have a lot to do with what else? Immunity. Ton has to do with your digestive. Without your digestive system operating in perfection, as it causes your immune system not operate in perfection. But anyway, so they're in a multi-billion dollar lawsuit already, and there's our president, who I love, advocating for more pharmaceuticals to be injected in America. Now, I want to give everybody this perfect advice. Like, it's just perfect, like Trump always says. Perfect advice. Do you know how? Now, listen, I've lost the same 40 pounds. I think now I used to say 40 times, 42 times. So I've lost the same 40 pounds, 42 times. So I know how to lose weight and I know how to put on weight. I know how to do all that. All right, now putting on weight, of course, is not a great accomplishment, but I know how to take it off. So, like, right, according to my fattest of the fat, maybe that you've ever seen me, if you've been watching this podcast for five or more years, this podcast is 5.5 years old. The fattest that you've seen me was probably 40 pounds heavier than I am right now, 45 pounds heavier than I am right now. So that's the fattest that I've been, and I vacillate, and I care. And I told Aaron, never get rid of your fat clothes.
Yep.
You know, you gotta have your fat clothes, you gotta have your medium clothes, and then you gotta have your thin clothes. You know, I call them thin, fat, and mega fat. They all know that from my preaching. So right now I'm in the thin to fat medium. That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Not quite to fat, but I'm certainly not at mega fat. But I keep at least a couple pairs of pants that I can squeeze into. All right, so I mean, in case I get mega fat again. So I bring all that up to bring this up. You know how you lose weight? Here it is. Are you ready? It's really, Aaron's chestnuts roasting by an open fire. We're all sitting here waiting for Tom's words of wisdom. Here's how you lose weight. You burn more calories than you take in.
What?
It really is that easy. A lot of people, they go on a diet and they go and make food. I'm going on a diet, so I'm making food for my diet. You know, what you do is don't eat.
Yeah.
That's what you do. Like, right, what I do is I eat once a day. It's called intermittent fasting. That's what I do. If I want to lose, and you know what? I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm a little grouchy, you know, kind of on the edge a little bit. So you guys got to be careful of your movements and coughing and everything else because I'm a little edgy right now because I'm hungry as balls right now. I'm hungry. Okay, so that's, sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not at podcast time, but I'm a little edgy right now because it happens to be tonight. I'm hungry. I don't know why I'm hungry. You know, sometimes I am, sometimes not. Because I ate at 3 o'clock this afternoon. What time is it now? 9:30. So 6.5 hours ago I ate. And you know, here's the thing. I know I can't eat till tomorrow, till 2.
Oof.
So I know. I mean, and I got stuff. Tonight I got to go work out. I got to go do my son's MMA workout with him tonight. I got to run him through it. I don't have to do it. But I run him through it. So I mean, I've got to do more exercise on my own. But I got 30 minutes on the bike waiting for me. I got whatever. But that's how you lose weight. You don't take an injection. Why would you spurn God's ways? Why would you reject it? God's way is, you want to lose weight? Burn more calories than you take in. And by the way, if you just cut out like all sugar, I mean like just sugar. You can even eat some pizza. I'm just talking about when I cut out hardcore sugar, when I'm not drinking this anymore, this Coca-Cola with my TLP, whatever you call it, like Cooley, whatever it is. Available upon donation. I'm just kidding. But anyway, so
TomLikely.com.
TomLikely.com. But anyway, so I mean, if I cut out like what I call like kid sugar, candy and stuff like that, you're like, Tom, you're 57 years old and you eat candy? Yeah, every day of my life. every day. I drink a Slurpee every day of my life. I eat candy all the time. Just about every day. Today, I had half of a king-size Snickers washed down with chocolate milk. That's me. So you're like, Tommy, 57, grow up. No, I don't want to. No, thank you. I believe in Matthew 18:4. You know, who's ever the greatest kingdom of heaven approaches God like a child. So anyway, so that's how you lose weight. You don't need Ozempic. And Trump's trotting around the White House. One of the people that I spoke to was the man who collapsed, who's Gordon Finley, an executive at Novo Nordisk, a Danish pharmaceutical company known for drugs like Ozempic. So this is just another, we could put together a 3-hour montage of everybody collapsing after taking a pharmaceutical.
Yep.
3-hour montage. He allegedly fainted due to feeling lightheaded during the press conference. He received immediate medical attention. Thank goodness Dr. Oz was there and other staff, and was reported to be in stable condition shortly after. Most of the people who collapse do actually survive their collapse afterwards, but it is a living example of what not to do. We don't know what happened with him, so I don't know if he was on anything or not, but it is certainly symbolic of the fact that you let God be God. Your system is perfect the way that you were made in his image. Let it be. Now, if you do actually have sickness, illness, disease, or infirmity, then you pray for God to then heal you to perfection.
Yep.
And I don't mind. Listen, if you blow out your ACL, go see an orthopedic surgeon or pray for your healing one way or the other. But I'm just telling you, or both. But anyway, but in the cases where you are healthy and you're fat, I've been fat many, many times. Many times I've been fat. I had a friend of mine who sent me a video of Ukrainians loading and is playing music. Okay. And they actually played it to when it hit, duh, was me exploding into giant fatness. He actually went like, he showed like, they're loading up a camera, loading it up, and then fired, and it was me and my fattest that he'd ever seen me.
Oh my God.
It's just making fun of me. All right, so I get it. I've been fat, but I never sit there and go, wonder why I'm fat. I know why I'm fat.
Right.
I know exactly why I'm fat. You know, like tonight, when I go home, I sit down on the couch. Every ounce of my being is going, go get those M&Ms now and wash them down with Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. So I'm just telling you, I get it. All right. So let me go to this one real quick. Peter St. Ange video. Still talking a little bit about Trump. Then we're going to get to the spiritual warfare against Islam. Argentina's Milei just swept congressional elections. Play for me.
Argentina's chainsaw-wielding president Javier Milei swept congressional elections, bolstered by a $48 billion loan from Donald Trump. Milei's party doubled the votes of the main opposition, Socialist Peronistas, and it doubled Milei's seats in the lower house and quadrupled in the Senate. He still lacks a majority, since only half the House and a third of the Senate were up. Argentina staggers elections, meaning Milei will still need to horse trade with independents to pass anything big. Still, it is a big change from the 1 in 7 seats he had before the election, which allowed Argentina socialists to block everything but executive orders, which may feel familiar to Americans. If you're just tuning in, Milei came to office in 2023 promising to end Argentina's hyperinflation, was running 211% per year, and end the economic stagnation by slashing its bloated government. He also promised to abolish Argentina's central bank, which he called a machine of theft, and adopt the U.S. dollar, as countries like El Salvador and Panama have already done. He delivered, slashing one-third of government spending, that's about $2.3 trillion in U.S. terms, and laying off 48,000 government workers, which is about 500,000 in U.S. terms. He closed half of government ministries, including the Ministry of Sustainable Development and the Ministry of Genders and Diversity. In just 5 months, all this turned a 4.4% deficit into a surplus. So in U.S. terms, that's like turning a $1.3 trillion deficit in 5 months. It slashed monthly inflation sevenfold to just 30% a year, which is small in Argentina. To grow the economy, he cut the number of taxes by 90%. So instead of paying 31 separate taxes, you might pay 3. He ended rent control that had caused a national housing shortage. And he cut export taxes that were crushing Argentina's farm sector. GDP initially dipped, since cutting 7% of GDP worth of government spending will do that. Interestingly, GDP overall only fell by half that, as in the private sector immediately picked up the slack. It then took off this year to a projected GDP growth of 5.5%, which is near China levels. It would have actually been stronger, but the Socialist Congress blocked his major reforms, including the big one, his plan for abolishing the central bank and dollarizing the peso. This left Argentina limping on bailouts from the IMF, hot hedge fund money from the so-called carry trade, and just last month, $40 billion in loans and swaps from Donald Trump. Now, Trump claims American taxpayers will make money, like the $20 billion we made bailing out Mexico in the 90s, and he wants to support Milei as a model for Latin America so they can grow their own economy instead of parasiting on ours. Still, many in MAGA did not vote to bail out other countries, even if they are based. So what's next, brought to you by iTrust Capital? The election makes it easier for Milei to finally dollarize, close the central bank, and end Argentina's permanent crisis. But without a majority in Congress, he still needs to take it slow, integrating dollars step by step to bottom up abolish the peso. So Argentina's not out of the woods, and apparently neither are U.S. taxpayers, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. Okay, we'll be watching.
So basically, Argentina did the exact opposite that everything Mamdani is proposing to do in NYC. Just as an example, he got rid of rent control because rent control had absolutely blown up their housing market. Their housing market was in steep decline, basically non-existent because of rent control. And what did Mamdani run on? Rent control. Like, people honestly believe that they are going to rent control their way into affordability. That never works, ever. It's called socialism, it never works. The other thing here is, so they had 5.5% GDP, and Peter St. Ange says almost China levels, but China's does not have 5.5% GDP. That's all fraudulent numbers, actually just created and propagandized by the CCP. But anyway, they had a legitimate 5.5% gross domestic product, doing everything opposite of what Democrats espouse. Now, I don't agree with Trump giving them $64 billion. I don't agree with that, and it was for cattle and things like that, but I put this story in for one reason. We lost on the national stage last night, but we are winning on the international stage. Just understand that. Not every battle, but we are winning on the international stage because Argentina is a huge ally of the United States, and we need them to not be part of the BRICS movement. So this is a big win. And he would have gotten rid of the central bank. Aaron would love that.
Yeah.
Aaron just said, if Trump got rid of the Fed, which is the central bank here in the United States, part of the globalist, really, IMF, International Monetary Fund, all basically in cahoots with one another. But anyway, enriching themselves. Remember, it takes you $4 billion to renovate the Fed building. I won't get into that. That's 30 minutes. But anyway, he tried to get rid of the central bank, and who held him back? The leftists in their form of Congress held him back. So everything that causes economic growth is the exact opposite thing being advocated for by Schumer, the Schumer shutdown, Mamdani, and any other leftist you can possibly meet. Now understand, the people in Argentina who banned him from closing the central bank, why would they do that? Because they themselves are getting rich off the central bank. There's always that class. What it is the Bernie Sanders of the world. Bernie Sanders advocates. Remember, he used to hate millionaires. He used millionaires and billionaires. Remember that. Now it's just billionaires because he himself is a millionaire. AOC hates millionaires and billionaires, but now she only hates billionaires because she herself is a multi-millionaire. You never hear Nancy Pelosi, who announced her retirement, coming out against millionaires, only billionaires, because she herself is a millionaire. They advocate policies that destroy the middle class because what they want is haves and have-nots. Haves and have-nots, that's it. And they rule over the have-nots so that you have to, be very subservient to them, beg them for food. They love that. That's why they love the black community on SNAP. They love it. So the black community has to beg them for their food every month. Because then, remember, you looked at it, and I used to call it, a sadomasochistic, almost sexual sort of control that the Democrats love to have in 2020, 2021. You're essential. You're non-essential. your essential. Remember Gretchen Whitmer? Remember her? Where you could buy, where you weren't allowed to buy seeds, and you were allowed to buy a TV, but not a TV stand? Yeah. Remember that? She could deem a TV stand essential. Or TV, essential. TV stand, not essential. They love it. It's a sadomasochistic sort of sexual perversion on their part. It really is that way. But they love to have that power over people. That's why they love to be able to say, you eat, you don't. Now, here's the thing. Nobody in America is going to starve. Not one person. But I had to show you this one. Illuminati bought video. We're talking about the Schumer shutdown right now. Now, this woman is on Snap. Aaron, side by side, real quick. This woman is on Snap claiming that she is now starving. Now, as I talked about earlier, she needs some intermittent fasting. So it would be good for her to actually go without, maybe eat one meal a day, and that meal be something other than sugar wrapped in sugar with a side of sugar washed down with sugar, because look at her. But she claims that she's starving. Play for me.
It's really bad.
Danielle Grant is starving.
I know. I'm trying to see if I can get some food. Because we literally don't have anything to eat today or tomorrow. So we're going to try to make ends meet and we can.
Desperate for food, nowhere to go. Grant and many others got to the Hope Line today just to make an appointment to come back later in the week for food. Resources are slim, leaving 40% of Bronxites without money to feed themselves. Some still in shock.
You heard things before, but it's like, they're not gonna let people starve. That's ridiculous, you know? But it's like, no, that's literally like what's happening.
We hope the food pantries maintain open, because if they don't stay open, I really don't know what we're gonna do.
We asked people their reaction to hearing that the Trump administration will partially fund the SNAP program. People say it's not going to do much. They have families to feed and already struggled at the end of every month when they were receiving the full amount.
Wow, not enough. At least there's something to hold on, but I think everybody's going to have to get a second job.
It doesn't really last a whole month. You know, probably about 2 or 3 weeks, and then by the last week, you got to scramble to find, you know, things.
This couple has 4 kids. The mom says pantries aren't always reliable.
They have limited supply, or by the time we get to the front of the line, then there's really nothing there. So it's hard.
She says she's holding on to faith. Meanwhile, others are worried hunger will drive crime rates up. We don't know how much money will be reloaded onto people's cards and when that will be. In Longwood, Lindsay Tanney, News 20.
Now, here's the thing. What's so funny about this is that... Okay, listen. I know I've been attacking fat women a lot. But here's the thing. I mean, in all honesty, I see Snap men on Snap too, but and a lot of them are fat. But there's actually thin men on Snap, but every woman on Snap is a giant fat woman. Don't show me the one. Everybody always does this, even right wingers, because right wingers are inherently combative. Oh no, they're not. Let me show you the one exception. Okay, there's one exception. Okay, but why is it? No. Did you notice how bipolar that woman was? It sounded like there was two cats fighting in an alley when she first started. Yeah. She's like was she starving? And I'm like, and then at the end, she's like jovial. That's a person on medication who lives on sugar.
Yeah.
Oh, and I want to congratulate Will, Aaron, you, and myself and we're paying for every last dime of it, and we're $38 trillion in debt. And like, what are we going to do when the staff benefit? Aaron, just leave this up. What are we going to do when the... Aaron, actually, if you can run it, just run a little bit, because I'll show everybody and prove to everybody. Everybody in that line's fat. Just look. I mean, Aaron noticed it. Look how fat the kid is. Yeah. She's fat. Fat. Jessica Jones is fat. I mean, I'm not talking about minorly fat. I'm not talking about 12 pounds over. Somebody in here said they could stand to lose 10. Me too. Look at the line. Look at the line. They're not going to eat any of those green beans. That's not what they're going to get. Look at the line. Everybody's fat. And then they're like, what are we going to do when the SNAP benefits run out? Look, fat. Okay? I mean, what are we going to do when the SNAP benefits run out? We'll put out one word. Walmart. Yeah, go to work. And here's the thing that's great is when you actually go to work, a lot of times, say if you go and... If you go to work, and say you go to work at Applebee's or Steak and Shake, you know what you get? You get your meals either for free or half off. So here you get to remember. Listen, when I had no money and I was in college, I had no money. My parents were like, you know what? You're on your own this summer. So you know what I did? Guess what, Aaron? Can you guess what I did?
Did you work?
I went and got a job.
What?
I was in college, by the way. I was on college. I was playing college football, UCF. I don't know if I was on scholarship at that point. I don't think I was yet. But anyway, I was a walk-on and then ended up with a scholarship. But anyway, I was broke. I had nothing. So you know what? I didn't go, well, first of all, it never crossed my mind to go and be on SNAP. It never crossed my mind. My friend and I, who's a linebacker, I was an offensive lineman, he's a linebacker. We were roommates. We went and applied at Taco Bell. Look at this guy. Fat. Fat. He's giant, fat man.
He's probably illegal, too.
Look at him. What was that?
I said he's probably illegal, too.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, Adele Burgos. My name is Adele Rodriguez Burgos. But I'm fat. So anyway, I went and got a job at Taco Bell. That's what I did. Taco Bell. As a college student, football player, Taco Bell. Making burritos and tacos all night long. That's what I did. You know why? So that I could, at the time, I could make about $110 a week. That's it. His minimum wage then was $350. So I'm just telling you, that's what you did. I never crossed my mind. They could go to Walmart right now and get a job. Go get a job. None of these people are working either. Not a one. You know why they're not working? Because they're depressed and have ADHD. That's why they're not working. And then we're $38 trillion in debt. As they stand in line and wait for their free food, and they know they're going to guilt Republicans into caving. And Aaron was talking about this. Listen, we need to be taking advantage of this shutdown. We need to be absolutely firing everybody. Not furloughing. The other F word. Fire everybody. Trump's already fired 28,000 IRS agents. Goodbye. Boom. Good. Let them go. Not furloughed. Fired. All right, let's get to Islam. At Chicago One Ray Video, escape from New York. Real estate agents getting flooded with calls whose job will be moving people from New York to Florida. They're calling it the Mom Donnie Migration. Play for me.
Some New Yorkers are thinking of packing up and getting out already. They call it the Mom Donnie Migration. The New York Post is reporting that real estate agents are getting flooded with phone calls. Luxury real estate agent Ryan Serhant told the Post that his number one job will be moving people from New York to Florida again. And based on the results, clients are going to hold off on making any kind of investment in New York City. Lydia Moynihan knows all about this. She's a financial correspondent at the Post and broke this story. Lydia, I had a bunch of my friends over the weekend when they saw this coming saying, oh my goodness, I wish I sold last year. This is a nightmare. How could this be happening? So is this Mom Donnie migration a real thing?
I think it is, and I hate to say that. Look, what's not surprising is it in the wake of him clinching that Democratic nomination that wealthy people, really anyone with sort of a vested interest in the city, was exploring options of where they could move. Florida, of course, is a well-trodden path at this point. But what's much more concerning is the fact that people are actually walking away from deals. So people who were either in process of signing and purchasing an apartment or, you know, potentially buying something in the future, they're walking away. And so for the next 4 months, I think we're going to see a decrease in the investment in New York City. Anyone with a business is going to be a little hesitant. And of course, that's going to be amplified for 4 years if Mom Donnie is elected. And of course, you know, Laura, the irony is that these are the very people who he needs to be paying for all of these programs. And the things he's outlined sound like Doge cuts, right? Money, millions of dollars to transgender surgeries for minors. And there's really no way that he can do that if, as I think people will, they're going to pack up.
Yeah, his entire platform is predicated upon a 2% tax increase on millionaires and billionaires. Everybody making over $1 million a year. That's what he, and all those people are going to move away. What the geniuses, aren't they? You can't keep them. They will harass them for a year after they leave. All you have to do is prove that you live in Florida or whatever state you move to 51% of the time and you no longer have to pay New York taxes. And they'll harass you and try to make you prove it, send documentation in, get an injunction against you, whatever it is. But eventually you will win and you won't have to pay your NYC taxes or your New York State taxes. Plus Kathy Hochul, because she's up for re-election, probably running against Elise Stefanik, has already sworn that he won't be able to, you can't increase taxes from the city. You have to increase taxes from the state. You can do some moratoriums at the city level or maybe some pseudo city taxes to some degree, but not much, not enough to, he wants to raise $6 billion. That's not to pay for his programs like rent control, free buses. And now he's changed it to reduced grocery prices instead of government-run grocery stores, which is what he advocated before. But now he's had to change it. He's had to moderate because he's being called. Well, he came out in his acceptance speech, said, I am a Democratic socialist. I'm just wondering how it is that Democrats how it is, but he's having to walk back that democratic socialism a little bit, I guess. But I'm just wondering how it is that you Democrats who, I mean, this is always, I was thinking about this earlier. How is it that you claim that I'm a threat to democracy when you're advocating for socialism? I'm just curious. I mean, you call me a threat to democracy because I want forensic audits on elections, but yet you elect a foreign-born Muslim extremist Sharia law advocating communist, and I'm the threat to democracy? I'm just curious how that all works. I really am very curious. And Aaron is lamenting this, but listen, it's already true because this is not the only news story. There was a real estate agent down in Palm Beach County, Florida, who said, you know what, her phone's ringing off the hook. It's over. They're all coming. They're coming. It started the moment he got elected. The phone started ringing. They're trying to get out of New York. And it's so hysterical to watch Democrats rejoice at their own demise and rejoice at things that do not work, because you're going to tax the rich to pay for all your social programs, to pay for your condoms and your transgender surgeries and your drug needles, but they're all leaving. Why would anybody stay? Do you ever think, I mean, again, do you ever think 2 seconds in front of your current existence? All right, on to full-scale Islam. This is a spiritual war that we're in. It doesn't matter. Elections matter. In comparison to spiritual warfare, it doesn't matter who we elect, but part of the spiritual warfare can be who we elect. And I want to invite all of you. There's cases where we need to be right out of Jude 21 through 23. You actually choose who it is that you have compassion on, right out of Jude 21 through 23. Read it for yourself. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, snatch others from the fire and save them. That's 22 and 23. So you don't, and give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, shake off the dust from your feet. Again, please understand, all those are Matthew 10, 13 through 15, Jude 21 through 23. I can't remember the other one I just said. Oh, Matthew 7, 6. So anyway, that's what you do. And you target your prayers specifically at politicians. I'm not talking about to harm them in any way, shape, or form. Target them to be exposed, defeated, run out of office, arrested, whatever it may be, because a lot of them, that's what they deserve. Nancy Pelosi needs to spend the rest of her life in federal prison for insider training and many other crimes she's committed. But anyway, so that's what this is all about. We are being invaded with a foreign religion. This country was based on Christianity. That's it. That is the way that it is. Now, because Christianity doesn't slaughter its opponents in America, because we're based on Christianity, you're allowed to have freedom of choice. You can go and be whatever religion you want to be. But we certainly do not need to be importing invaders. For all intents and purposes, and I am not a black pill person, but if you just look at statistical data, birth rates, and everything else, Europe is already done, and we're on the cusp of being done. Yep. That is the way that it is. You have to have 2.1 babies per woman. And we're at 1.9, and most European countries are under 1.8 to 1.5. And Muslims have 8 per woman. Okay, and that's a little bit hyperbolic, but really 4 to 8 per woman. So they come in, and they take over. And what it is, they're your best buddy until they have the numbers to overwhelm you, and then they kill you. That's exactly what they did. Went over this last night. I'll make this brief. It's exactly what the Ayatollah Khomeini revolution was in Iran. They got together with leftist socialists like Zoran Mamdani, but he himself, of course, is also a devout Muslim and, you know, Israel hater, America hater, everything else. And I know Israel's got its issues. You know, most of you know where I stand on Israel. I am an Israel truther. I talk the truth about Israel and their crimes that they commit. But anyway, and how we are often the dog to their tail, which I don't like. Not even often. That's really what we are right now. And we need to repent of that. But anyway, I digress. So that's what they do, best buddies, and they come to you, and they have their soft-spoken. They always call themselves, instead of Muslim, that's always Muslim. So they have very soft-spoken, and why won't you accept us? And they have their Islamophobia programs and everything else to make sure that we all feel bad about ourselves for having great disdain for the religion. I hate their religion. I don't hate the people, but I hate their religion. But anyway, that's what they do, is they come in, and they buddy up to you. When they lie to you, it's called taqiyya. They lie to you. They tell you that they're pro-trans, pro-gay, pro-everything else. Get into the positions of power and then kill off all the liberals first. And then lastly, that's why they always buddy up with the liberals first, because they don't want to mess with people like you and me. Because you and I actually have values. You and I actually have principles. We actually stand on principle. A lot of people are rudderless ships without principles, i.e. the Democratic Party. All right, so here's, I mean, therefore I am video. Flashback, Imam Muhammad Talhadi explains why radical Muslims consistently align and vote with the left, the green-red coalition. Play for me.
When I was an extremist, Islamist, fundamentalist, I would only vote left.
Why is that?
I saw them as very stupid. I would fear the conservatives because they come with principle. That's not someone they can brainwash. But the left, I know they have no values and no principles to begin with. I dare you to find one Islamic extremist that votes for Donald Trump. You'd never do it. They'd give their vote to the leftist who wants to run around in pride parades. And Islamic extremists are against gays and homosexuals and transgenders, but they want the left to go and get busy with that. They want them, go speak about the climate, go speak about abortion, go kill yourselves, go do that. Ilhan Omar, she's fighting for abortion rights and all the other, my body, my choice, yes, go do that. But would she have an abortion? Never. Never. Would she kill a Muslim in her stomach? Never.
What is the fundamentalist and jihadi agenda for America?
The future of America has to be Muslim.
There you go. And what they do is they align themselves. Think about this now. Think about it strategically, tactically. Think of it this way. They align themselves with the left and they send them out. Go and kill yourselves. They align themselves. One of the biggest... bases of Islam is in the black community, and then they espouse abortion to them where they have one, you know, literally one of the biggest populations of Muslims are blacks in prisons and even blacks out in the community. And then they urge them to go get abortions because they're invading the black community. They're not aligning with the black community. They're invading the black community. They're invading America, and they tell you, go and kill yourselves through abortion. 400,000 black babies per year are killed in abortion by their own politics, by their body politics, by the politics they agree with. They kill themselves and then claim that the biggest existential threat to the black community is the white police officer who kills about 5 to 8 unarmed black men a year in comparison to 450,000 abortions. So it's brilliant what the Muslims do. They're stupid, inbred people, most of them, but the invaders I'm talking about, people coming from foreign countries, but Pakistanis namely. But anyway, they say, you know, we're aligned with you. Now go and get in these gay pride parades and these trans parades, and you get people to then lop off their sex organs so they don't reproduce while you're reproducing 8 kids per woman. They're aligning themselves with the people they're invading to go kill themselves in abortion while they have 8 children per woman. So they're increasing in numbers. And you're like, yeah, but we're all on the same side. Temporarily, as they dekia you, they lie to you. And then when finally you've killed off enough of your own people and you're no longer reproducing and they outnumber you 5 to 1, they turn on you and kill you. That's exactly what Khomeini did to his leftist collaborators in Iran in 1980. That's exactly what happened. And that's exactly what they will do now. They're soft-spoken, and they're really nice, and they're collaborating with you, and they give money to your community center, your Boys and Girls Club. We just want to thank the local mosque for all of their donations. And then they turn on you. It's a spiritual invasion. April Sparks video. October, what's today, Aaron, the 6th?
Yeah.
Today's 3 days ago. October 3rd, NYC... in the Bronx. A little snapshot for you. Play it for me.
I can't, because this is America.
But you cannot take us.
Who? Who said?
Me.
What gives you special privilege?
You cannot take us, please.
Who said that?
You
to
cannot
you?
Do that.
Don't touch my phone.
Happening right now in the Bronx.
Are you taking videos?
Yep, I am.
Okay.
happen. You want to ask me why I'm taking video?
Yeah.
Because I can't, because this is America.
That's I'm not why. Saying don't take it.
Okay.
I said why.
Okay. Because I can't, because this is America.
But you cannot take us.
Who? Who said?
Me.
What gives you special privilege?
You cannot take us, please.
Who said that to you?
You cannot do that.
Don't touch my
phone. No, don't do that.
I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. This is fucking America.
And of course, it turns violent. Well, not that a Muslim would ever be violent, right? I mean, of course not.
No.
I mean, they're only. I mean, of course. I mean, how many Americans have been killed by their improvised explosive devices? The World Trade Center. Of course, we know that was juiced up by Mossad and the CIA. We already know that. But I mean, there still had to be Muslim people willing to fly the planes into the trade centers. And for those people who say there's no planes flying in the trade centers, listen, there may have been demolition there, which I agree with. Yeah. I'm just saying there were planes that flew into the trade center.
Correct.
I mean, folks, come on. Can we please just agree to that, since I'm watching the video just like 2 days ago, watching the planes fly into the trade center?
I watched it live.
Me too, by the way. Yeah, Aaron missed it, a little kid. Yeah. But I'm like, yeah, I watched it live at Venice High School.
Yeah.
At the time. I was not in high school. I was a school resource officer at the time. But anyway, so can we please not have that level of it? Oh, those were missiles. No, they weren't, folks. No. Okay. You want to talk about the demolition. You want to talk about all the very strange people that both showed up and didn't show up right at the right times and everything else. That's one thing. And Building 7, that was obviously demolition. And by the way, the World Trade Center was obviously demolition. I mean, nothing falls like that.
Totally.
Structurally impossible for that to ever happen. But anyway, but I digress. But then you saw it right there. I mean, that was the third. I mean, that's not a couple years from now. And, of course, the Muslims are instantly violent. And, of course, people live under the false ideology, the false philosophy or law that you're not allowed to video people. You can video anybody you want as long as it's a public space. I can video anybody I want as long as it's a public space. It's as simple as that. But they don't get that. But I just want to show you a little snapshot of this. I mean, this is pre-Mondami. This is pre-Mondami, right? I mean, that's pre. That's right. I mean, I think the day of the election or the day before the election, whatever it was. Or no, was it the 5th was the election? Yeah, yesterday. Or Tuesday. So 2 days before the election, whatever it was. So that's pre-Zohran. Just wait till it's post-Zohran. What's New York going to look like? Wall Street Apes video, Matt Walsh exposes America was flooded with Muslims. Play it for me.
Virtually the entire current Muslim population in the U.S. came here after 9/11. In the 1990s, there were between 500,000 and 1 million Muslims in this country. That's it. Now there are more than 4.5 million. The Muslim population has more than quadrupled since 9/11. Now, on the other hand, guess what's happened to the Christian population in Iraq during that same period? Well, it went from 1.5 million Christians to around 200,000. Why is that? Well, they were ethnically cleansed. They were terrorized. They were killed. They were forced to leave. Meanwhile, some of our most important cities, you know, the centers of our economy, were flooded with Muslims. And we were told to welcome these people and give them refuge from their third world hellholes because, after all, they're just as American as we are.
So we get hit on 9/11. And again, I know all the 9/11. I'm not going to say I know it all. I stand where I stand on 9/11, which was this CIA Mossad op, dancing Jews, everything else. You know, John Brennan imported most of the hijackers into the country. So, I mean, that's just all a fact. But anyway, and there's a myriad of things I could get into on that, but anyway, which I'm not going to do right now. But anyway, I just want you to know. But regardless of that, Muhammad Atta, who lived right here in Venice, Florida, and trained at Huffman Aviation at Venice Airport, did, in fact, fly a plane into the World Trade Center. Okay? That happened. So you always have to, it's just like 10-7. We know the 10-7. The 10-7-23 invasion of Israel via paragliders was a Mossad CIA op. We already know that. But there still has to be Muslim people who are willing to do it. Because it's not that they don't go to these people and go. Like, Muhammad Atta didn't know he was a Mossad operative. They just swing the door open, just like they did with the Capitol rioters. They swing the door open and call you a rioter. Just like they're doing with Tyler Robinson right now. Oh, he's the killer. No, they just open the door for him to be some sort of a diversion, just like the guy in the crowd. I did it. That's all just coincidence, right? No, they just swing the door. They make it a conducive environment for these people to go ahead and conduct their terrorist operations. But anyway, and you know, actually imported by John Brennan into the country. Most of the 9/11 hijackers. But anyway, so we have Islamists, and listen, I know the Jewish angle, the Israeli angle, Mossad, CIA, but right now we're focusing on Muslims, okay? And I know that they're used as instruments and everything else. And plus, they operate on their own. And the Islamic faith is of the devil, just so you know. But anyway, so we have this happen on 9/11. Aaron saw it when he was 8. I saw it. Will was actually in military training at the time, and they called off the training. And he was about to be sent to war himself and spent time at war in Iraq, all over this stuff. But anyway, they hit on 9/11, killing about 3,000 Americans. Now, Islamists did that. Now, we know Ilhan Omar's summary of the event was some people did something. That's her summation of the event. But 3,000 plus Americans died on that day, the largest killing of Americans on American soil in American history to date. And what happened after that? This is a glory. This speaks to the glorious nature of our politicians and our foreign and domestic policies. The Muslim population quadrupled in the United States after they blew up the trade centers and the Pentagon. But the CIA and Mossad's help. I mean, I get it. But so then their population quadruples? Why? Because of the red-green coalition. Yeah, but Tom, Republicans are involved. Yeah, because Republicans aren't really conservative. They are Democratic Party operatives. 90% of every Republican you ever see is actually a Democratic Party operative. We may be like, they don't know they are. Correct. They're almost like the hijackers. They don't know. They're put into a situation where it's very conducive for them to vote left, i.e., John Cornyn, 50% of the time, votes with Democrats. John Thune, Senate Majority Leader, votes 51% of the time with Democrats, but yet he's considered a Republican leader. But after 9/11, when Muslims, not some people did something, as Ilhan Omar puts out, Muslims killed 3,000 Americans. And what was our response nationally? Let's quadruple their population. That's intelligent, isn't it? Let's look now. Let's look at where we're at today. Nick Sorter video. Dearborn, Michigan's police chief speaking in... Aaron, can you side by side just real quick? This is their police chief. Another effeminate fat man. Dearborn, Michigan's police chief speaking in Arabic.
Oh.
Abdullah, Abdullah, all praise due to Allah. Play for me.
When I joined the department, Dearborn's Arab American population was nearly 50%. Yet less than 3% of our police. It's now a department that reflects and embraces the community it serves, with 45% of our officers being Arab American. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. I'm proud to serve as your chief of police.
Just Aaron, side by side real quick. Just keep that. Go back. Give me that pic because I got to talk about this guy. He is the living embodiment of the effeminate, bent over, collaborating, cooperative Nazi. This guy believes that his level of virtue rises to the level of being somebody who would have hidden Anne Frank. He would have been the first person to call in Anne Frank and turn her over to the Nazis. Very first person, all the while believing he'd be the one to harbor her. He's exactly the opposite. First person to put on a mask, first person to put on a second mask, first person to put on the mask and the N95, first person to line up to get his injection, first person to enforce mask laws and arrest people for not wearing masks and not standing 6 feet apart are people, weak little simps like this coward who just believe. Listen, you have this American, speaking of obviously very American accent. And Will brought up a very valid point. What if you were to go up and say, like, I just like to praise the name of Jesus? And he would have been fired. But he can go up and say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, all praise due to Allah. He's also boasting about Dearborn's police department going from 3% Islamic to 50% are hijab wearers now in the Dearborn Police Department. Let's stay in Dearborn for a minute. I mean, therefore, I am video. In Dearborn, Michigan, residents are subjected. This is Will's story of the night. This is, Will is not somebody who gets mad very easily. But if you want to see Will get mad, this one will get him. Dearborn, Michigan, residents are subjected to Muslim call to prayer blasted over loudspeakers across the city 5 times a day. Oh. Play for me. Can you imagine I rarely leave on the audio when I'm talking. Can you imagine living with that every day? Five times a day. But if I was to ask, can I have equal time as a pastor in Dearborn, Michigan to play Blessed Be the Name of the Lord? You know, can I just play the 23rd Psalm? Can I just play instrumental Christian music? I would be turned down flatly by people like that absolute gelding police chief. Because if he bends over for Muslims, he gets to keep his job. And he gets to be highly thought of by the Muslim community that will eventually turn on him or his offspring, his descendants, and their wives, murder them and rape the women. This is what's coming. Oh, such a peaceful thing. I mean, not only that, but is there anything more annoying than this? How freaking annoying is this? Let's go to the next one. And wokeness video. Dearborn Mosque, sounds like the same video, but it's not. Dearborn Mosque blasts call to prayer at 5 a.m. on loudspeakers in the street, which is against city regulations. Here they are at the city commission meeting. Play for them.
But the mosques in East Dearborn are now at times waking us up at 5:30 in the morning with the call to prayer.
This is Dearborn resident Andrea Unger at last night's city council meeting stating that mosques using outdoor loudspeakers for their call to prayer should not be allowed. And says she believes it's not supposed to be allowed per city ordinance.
The noise complaints have been made out and the police have made numerous visits. What is the next step?
There was some question whether or not any outdoor loudspeakers are allowed, something that was not clarified, only that more evidence is being gathered. But CBS Detroit did examine Dearborn's noise ordinance and found that loudspeakers between the hours of 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. are in violation of the ordinance.
Dearborn, Michigan is the living embodiment of the Muslim strategy. What they do is go in and take over the city. The mayor is now Muslim. The mayor of London now, because there's more Muslims living there than white people, than not just white people, but native British people, white, black, or indifferent, whatever, just native citizens of the. So they elect Sadiq Khan now as their mayor. So slowly but surely, they take over without ever really firing a gun. A lot of stabbings and rapes and things like that and raping of children, a lot of that, but they never get prosecuted because if you prosecute a Muslim for child rape, you'll be considered Islamophobic. So as a white person, you just never would want to be called names, would you? So that's exactly what they've done in Dearborn, Michigan, is simply take over the town. So then now they just change the city ordinances and the city laws where you're not allowed to blast Christian music, but you are allowed to blast the call to prayer five times a day, starting at 5 a.m. There's a good one for you here. Guther Eagleman breaking another little story from Dearborn, Michigan. Play for me.
It's finally happening. 5 days, ArabCon is bringing the heart of Arab advocacy right to our city. This is more than an event. It's a movement. We're talking powerful speakers, unforgettable moments, and a thunder of voices rising together in solidarity. Friday night alone is going to be electric. A gathering you'll never forget. And there's going to be advocates from every corner of the nation coming. And we need you there, standing shoulder to shoulder, raising our voices for justice, unity, and power. Solidarity is strength. Don't watch history. Be a part of it. And I'll see you guys there on Friday.
Hey, for $65 to $85, you can get your tickets to ArabCon.
Sweet.
Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? No, you don't have to worry about going to Comic-Con or any of those other things. They just go to ArabCon. But anyway, this is all in America, by the way. So here, I'm going to just show you this picture here, Dr. Maloff video. Now, I want to just tell you that this is not, as Dr. Maloff said, this is not Pakistan. I want to show you Houston, Texas this year. Play for me. Texas, Houston, Texas. I don't have time to get into a big Texas montage right now or monologue, but Texas is not what it appears. Texas is a haven for the Muslim takeover of America. And it's planned and they are carrying it out and it is up to us as Christians, not anything violent. Listen, they are serving the devil. We serve God. We serve God in the name of Jesus with the power of the Holy Ghost, and we can defeat them with the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's exactly what needs to happen. Pray for your country, for your city, for your county, for your state, and for your country to rebuke, to absolutely reject the Islamic faith in Jesus' mighty name. And let's just win the Muslims to Jesus. Wow, a lot of rants tonight. KS McGregor, 1963, $25. Thank you so much. Alligator Alcatraz, $20. Thank you so much. Johnny F62, $20. Thank you so much. The one and only Nude Monk, $20. Thank you so much. Richard Perry, $49, $10. Thank you so much. Jules, 21 hours, $10. Thank you so much. Hefner, $10. Thank you so much. Supergirl, 21, $5. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Thank you guys so much in the chat. As always, stick around for the post game. You'll love it. You'll love it. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. Love you all. God bless you.